B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop, bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore. Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Charles is up next. Hey, Charles.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Okay.
Charles Allen here. Bestman, let me defend the man, but first, here's a tip. Never lend your bike to a bar. Hopalo Riley, Bob Riley, the governor up in Alaska, A.D., the University of Alabama, all had bike problems. They all were Bob. It's B-O-B-O-B, Bob on bivouac on a bike. It was March 25, 2012, and Bob Sykadent concluded April Fool's Day with a cracked vertebrae. But suddenly came a big buck from out of the deep, a six-pointer, and that's my tweet. That's my client. Hey, Charles Allen Head, best. Hey, happy Tuesday.
Charles Allen Head, hopefully you're still alive. Unfortunately, a lot of those Feinbaum callers have passed on. I guess they were either just old to begin with, or maybe it's an unhealthy lifestyle. I'm not quite sure, but hopefully he's still kicking it down there and whatever map dot that he lives in. It is Toucher and Rich on Tuesday morning, 617-779-0985. And I am broadcasting from the very hot, muggy, and dangerous South Carolina right now.
What's the temperature, Rich? What's the temperature?
There was a heat index yesterday of 106.
And now? What do we got this morning? Well, how are we looking?
Well, right now, I mean, I'm not joking. It's probably like a heat index of like, this is one of those places and one of those times of year where it's hot when it's dark. Like, it's like sweltering when it's dark, which I don't know how that works. Like, I guess just the earth gets cooked so much that the amount of, I guess, steam or heat that is sucked into the concrete just gets released throughout the evening, and it still feels like the sun is out. Yeah. I'm not enough of a scientist or somebody who knows how atmosphere works, but it is true. You walk outside in the dark, and it still feels like the sun is out. It is just we'll talk about this later, but in places like this during the summer, it's almost as if where you live is trying to kill you. Like, everything around you is trying to kill you.
No, that's just the South. That's where you grew up. That's nothing to do with the rest of us, Rich.
What I'm saying is
people like, selling Klan robes on the corner, you know, that's true. I can see how people would be ready to kill you in that neighborhood.
It is interesting because I've talked about at the time growing up, it was a map dot. It's grown up. It's blown up a little bit because Atlanta expanded. But, you know, every time I mention the town, you know, named Kennesaw, like anytime it's out there in the news, anything having to do with Kennesaw, because it's like such a random spot, I get sent every single news story. Now, very rarely do you get one that's a somewhat positive spin. It's very rare. Like, there was a dude who got on Jeopardy who was from, like, Kennesaw State University. And I remember it was pretty funny because it was Kennesaw State University and the other two contestants were from, like, it was Yale and Stanford, and the Kennesaw State dude, like, killed him, which is the most random thing. It might have been the greatest thing anyone from Kennesaw has ever done. Just slayed this dude from Yale. Like, whoa, Goodwill Hunting is alive.
I've seen that campus. I've been right past that campus. It's got, like, two buildings, and it's off in the middle of nowhere. I know where it is.
Believe it or not, it's actually kind of – it's blown up. As I said, everything is, like, expanding. It's really strange how
– I'm going back, like, 20 years, so maybe
– Right. When I lived there, it was nothing. It was where the strippers went to school.
Right.
Which is basically, and it's where I took a golf class when I, of course, had to leave. I had to leave Georgia Tech for a quarter and kind of get my grades back up because I was on the road too much. But then I went back to Georgia Tech. Never finished, but I got close. But either way, but when I usually get stories emailed to me from Kennesaw, it almost always involves Wildman Dent Myers. And that is the place I've told you about that's in the middle of the town that, you know, you walk in and it sells Klan robes. I mean, it is the most unbelievably racist. You can't believe this place exists on the planet. I've told the story a million times before. When you walk in, there's pictures of all the black people who have come into the store. You know, he used to take a picture in a Polaroid up there. Oh, I'm just having fun. I mean, like, this dude was like, I mean, he sells like awful, awful, awful things in there. And anytime there's a news story involving it, I get it sent my way. I say this to so many people. I'm like, you know, if this store was in any other city in America, it would be front page news everywhere. Like, you would not believe that this thing exists, but just because it's always been there in Kennesaw, people have just accepted, oh, it's old wild man and his but I'm telling you, this place is real. I can't believe it's real, and I can't believe it's still there in the year 2022. So anytime I get sent any kind of news story, it's always something just awful about like, you know, the people who live there. But I'm not even talking about that. I wasn't talking about the people at all around here. I'm talking about Mother Nature. I'm talking about the wildlife. Everything in this city or this state that I'm in right now just seems to want to kill you. And I noticed a couple subtle things as I was coming in from the airport yesterday. And
wait. Before you get to that, the flight. I'm curious because the last time you tried to make this trip, you got stuck in Nantucket for about 9 hours. So, and for those of you who, for those of you who aren't tuned in yesterday, Rich did the show from his home in Boston to eliminate that one step and hopefully have a smoother transition so he wouldn't get stuck on the island again. Were you one of the rare 5% that had no trouble with their flight yesterday?
Okay, so I was feeling it. Because I got to the airport, everything took off on time. We landed, everything was A-okay, and I'm like, this is awesome. I finally, after a week, I was supposed to be here a week ago to help out my mom's recovery. After a week, I finally made it. So I go to the car rental place. You know, my car, I think, was reserved for 12:30. I got there around 1:15. I'm like, all right. I will take my car. And they said, it's going to be 2 to 3 hours.
Why?
I went, well, why? He goes, well, you know, and then I got some of this thing. Well, you know, there's a shortage of cars. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but I reserved a car. Matter of fact, my car should have been ready 45 minutes ago. It should be sitting there waiting. They go, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, there's just this shortage. And we all share the same cars. And I'm looking, and there's like 7 or 8 different, you know, car places, their car rental agencies. And they've all got lines. And there's all people sitting there. And I'm like, 2 to 3 hours? Like, how can you? And like, I everything inside of me. Boy, it's that moment that you get where you have to negotiate with yourself. It's like everything inside of you wants to just ask a million questions. Why would you rent it if you knew you weren't going to have the cars? Why don't you have the cars? You know, this was there no kind of notice that maybe I could have gone somewhere else to get a car? You know, when did you know that I wasn't going to have a car? I mean, a million different things. But there's that other part of you that's like, I can't piss these people off, because if it's true that there's like no cars, then I can't be the a-hole who's screaming at everyone so they give my car to somebody else and then I'm just stuck at this airport. And my mom lives like an hour away from the airport, so I need a car. So I end up sticking around, and after about an hour and a half, I go up to him and I say, hey, you know, is there any kind of like, what can you guys do? Is there anything you can do for me? I have to go see my mom. I lay it on thick. You know, she's recovering. Blah, 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 blah. And this woman was like, well, let me see what I can do, love. And everyone's moving at a snail's pace. I mean, it's just going from a city like anywhere from like Boston or New York or a place like that and coming down south, it's like everything pisses you off. Everyone moves so like so
everything downshifts.
Slow.
That's true. It's so true. I went to New Orleans. I had a similar experience when I went to the New Orleans airport, which, by the way, is nowhere close to the city either. And what is it, 30, 45-minute drive in from the airport to New Orleans? Same thing. And the woman was moving at a glacial pace to find my reservation. And I felt like, you know, just propping up a pillow and going to sleep right there waiting for her. And she said, honey, this is why they call it the Big Easy. Everybody moves easy down here. You got to be effing kidding me. Find my automobile. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I know it's a 50% me problem. I know that that's partly because I've lived in an amped part of the country where everything goes faster and you demand everything quicker. You want everyone to be paying attention at all times, whereas I'm looking up at the desk and there's people. Oh, there's nothing that drives me more crazy than when there's like three people at the desk and someone comes up with a problem and all three people look to see what the person who has the problem is doing, and they all three go over and like try to listen to what this person's problem is instead of that one person dealing with that problem and the other two helping the other customers. It pisses me off. Like, everything stops when one person has an issue, and it's like everyone's going over and showing them what to do on the computer. Like, okay, I'm sitting there having that discussion with myself. Do I piss these people off? So finally, I try to like, you know, lay it on thick, and I try to be nice, and I try to hide the veins that are popping out of the side of my head because I'm so stressed out and angry. And finally, this woman comes back super slow, just bombadita, bombadita from the back, and she goes, "I got a minivan. If you want a minivan." And I went, "I'll take anything. I'll take a Honda Spree right now.
Give me that smart car in the corner.
I will take a scooter. Just give me anything with wheels that will get me there."
Yeah.
And so finally, after an hour and 45 minutes, I got a sweet mom van that I am just riding around town in. And this thing has got all the bells and whistles. I could press a button and the whole side door just slides all the way to the back, all the way to the front.
That's kind of standard on those cars.
Take
it from a guy who had a minivan for a long time.
He had the Eagles' favorite blue minivan.
The bigger one, big minivan.
This thing, I'm driving a boat, and which is appropriate, Fred, because I drove it right past your favorite place, the Margaritaville Old Folks collection that they have here, this big complex, a mega complex of different condos, all themed to Jimmy Buffett's favorite songs.
Now, did you drive into it yet?
No, I'm going to today. That is definitely something I'm going to do, and it looks like you can, as long as you tell them you're going to be checking out the property for a potential sale. And someone like me, they're probably saying, okay, well, maybe he's looking for something for their parents. And Fred, I will give you a full report tomorrow morning on what a true paradise the Jimmy Buffett Old Folks Complex is. And I there's just humping everywhere. It's upside down pineapples everywhere you go. And
as far as the eye can see,
Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. Yes.
All right. So you got down. I was having some technical difficulties. So you got down there safe?
I mean, I'm safe, and you know, traveling is fun right now. It's, you know, somewhat of a nightmare, but it wasn't the plane thing. It was the car thing, and I'm here, and it's hot. And
Jesus is everywhere.
Jesus is everywhere, and you and McGregor Jesus will be in a picture frame by the end of the day today.
Oh, sweet.
Hidden somewhere in my mom's house.
Yeah, because I don't see you on Twitch, because I would like to see some Jesuses to get going in the morning.
I could show you some. I only have I don't have a second computer to do the video.
Okay.
So I won't be on Twitch today, but there is but I will definitely show you once I place the Ewan McGregor Jesus inconspicuously in the house. We'll find out how long it will be until she realizes that that isn't a picture of Jesus, but Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I will say never. That will never happen.
Maybe, who knows? I mean, there's so many Jesuses here that we're going to have to, you know, you would think that it would blend right in.
How many? 20? How many?
Okay, I am standing in the guest bedroom. And now, does Mary count? Like the Jesus and Mary?
Cause
let's throw
it right on top.
Just
the
from
pile.
Where
sure.
I'm standing. Okay, one. There is Saint Michael, so that'll count. That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in this room. There's 5 in this room that I can see. And you know what? Probably by the end of the show, I'll have noticed 6 or 7 more. It's like one of those magic eye pictures. As you look closer, all of a sudden you see that there's more Jesuses just kind of hiding all over. I see 5 in this room right here.
That's the dream. I mean, that is the dream. There's no question about it. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stackaroo?
Hey, the Red Sox.
What happened last night?
Yeah, the Red Sox may never lose again. They are on a winning kind of streak.
All right, so we'll hear all about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey.
Did you just call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
All right, we are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
The losing streak is over, and the Red Sox are headed to the World Series. Clip.
Runner first goes Bogarts. Little loop to center. Coming on strong. It's going to drop in. A run is in to score. Xander is into third base. He was moving with the pitch. Red Sox take a 3-1 lead.
That is Nesson, and the Nick Pivetta that temporarily didn't suck this year was back with a very good performance in yesterday's 3-1 win over the Guardians. What are the Guardians of? I'm not quite sure. Piles of crap, apparently, because they've lost every game against the Sox this season. 5 2/3 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts for Nick Pivetta, who really, really, really needed this. His last 3 starts totaled just 13.5 innings with 20 runs allowed during that time. That will kill your ERA. The Sox now undefeated using their bright yellow City Connect uniforms, which I actually kind of like. They've grown on me. I don't mind those.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, last night was only the Red Sox 6th win of the month. Here is Alex Cora afterwards on where they stand.
Velocity was up, and thank God his curveball was good today. His slider, it was okay. But a lot better, better rhythm. But I think the fastball where he used it, you know, it was obviously a 94, 95, but he went to some good spots and he did a good job. Gave us a chance to win.
Yeah, Pivetta did look pretty good. All right, now, this is where do you start getting a bit nervous as a Red Sox fan? Because what happens if the Sox win a couple of more games here before the trade deadline, does that muck up any kind of decision that this team may have made to sell to make the team better? I mean, is there anything this team could do in the 7 games before the trade deadline that would make ownership change their course regarding how they handle things on August 2nd?
Yeah, if they beat the Guardians, that's a team that's in front of them. If they sweep this series, then you got to start thinking about it again.
Yeah, I mean, if you sweep this series and you take 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee over the weekend, I mean, the ownership could easily be faked into, oh, you know what, we're right back in it. All we got to do is get in the tournament. You know, Walker's going to get healthy. Hill's going to get healthy. And, you know, we're going to straighten the bullpen out. You saw what Whitlock did last night. Oh, it's easy. It's easy for the ownership to be fooled into buying instead of selling. Sure.
Well, Sam Kennedy was asked before the game yesterday about the team's attitude heading into the trade deadline. Here you go, Dan.
What's the team's mindset going into the deadline? Win now or plan more towards the future?
Yeah, well, look, we want to win each and every year. I mean, that is the goal. When we come into spring training, we're fortunate with the best fans in baseball that give us the most passionate support that you can have in this game, whether it's our amazing fans who come out to Fenway Park every night or our corporate sponsors who support us.
Or our sponsor bathrooms.
You had to mention the corporate sponsors. That question wasn't in the vicinity of the corporate sponsors. Make sure we mention all the people that put ad space on the wall.
That immediately made me think of, let's go to Jenny Dale now to talk about the brand new sponsored toilets that we have here.
Jesus
Christ. At Fenway. Do you remember that? Jenny Dale had to go in there and talk about how amazing the toilets were because there was some company that had sponsored the remaking of the toilets. I mean, that right there is the most shilly non-answer that you could possibly give. We want to win every year, and you know what's great? We love the Sam Adams deck that we've got here as well. Santander, boy, they are just right behind us. They make sure that this place is got squeaky clean seats. I don't know whether or not they are going to sell or whether they're going to buy or whether they're going to stand pat. I just know that I get nervous when you know that this team isn't any good and they start winning a couple of games right before the trade deadline that could give them some false confidence.
They don't have a chance to win. I'm watching Houston and I'm watching the Yankees and I'm watching even who's on top of AL Central. I've forgotten it. For some reason I can't put my mind right. Minnesota, thank you. They're not in the ballpark with any of these teams. Especially Houston and the Yankees. If you think you're beating Houston and the Yankees in a 5 or 7 game series, you're out of your mind. I don't care if Sale's at full strength or not, and the odds are that's not going to happen. So I don't understand. If Sam Kennedy is telling the truth and the team's object is to win every year, they can't win this year. They're not good enough this year. You know, they have some pieces. You have a good middle of the order. You know, theoretically, you got some things happening if all these prospects work out. But I don't see how the Red Sox can look in the mirror and say, you know what, we got to give away more minor leaguers for a bat. Oh, we got to give away, you know, we got to stop the building of the farm system to add a middle of the road arm. I don't see how that helps at all.
I think it was NBC Sports Boston had an article about the 6 Red Sox players most likely to be traded at the deadline, and they ranked Christian Vasquez as being the first. And then behind that was Michael Wacha, J.D. Martinez, Nate Eovaldi, and then Xander Bogaerts. They throw there at the bottom, and you know they said maybe, just maybe, this would be where they would trade them. I don't see that happening, but I mean, you could see someone like Christian Vasquez, you know, end up getting. Is that a name you're hearing out there, John?
But I mean, I can see why they do it. I mean, yeah. they're going
on haul.
Well, yeah,
getting a haul.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, when you look at this list outside of Xander Bogaerts, you're wondering, you know, who is going to be a game changer? You know, everyone's saying sell at the trade deadline. I mean, like, what are these guys going to give you? Like, what is Michael Wacha going to give you? J.D. Martinez might give you a little something, but, I mean,
he's hurt. Power. I mean, he can't get on the field at the moment. I mean, that's part of the problem. I mean,
do you think he's hurt, or do you think he's hurt, or the team is holding him out, or do you think that he's just over it?
Well, Fred, they're trying to win every year, so one would think they're trying everything they can to get him on the field and play, right? I mean, clearly they're not keeping him out to trade him. He has back spasms, which is the most non-specific injury you could possibly have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, he played in the All-Star game, and then he came back and said, I can't play anymore. So
I know.
So it's either the team's holding him out, or he has deemed this team not worthy to play for.
It's amazing how that happens in sports, where someone can be injured either before or after the All-Star game, but the All-Star game they seem to be able to make it to. That happens in a lot of different sports, Fred. We've seen that a few times. Well, either way, it's Big Poppy Night at Fenway, where the Sox will honor their new Hall of Famer before the game. Terry Francona will be there to honor Big Poppy, probably by taking a dump while talking to him in his office. First pitch is going to be at 7:10. First dump probably around 5:15 with Terry Francona.
It's earlier. I know that for a fact. This is one where I can help. Yeah, it's earlier than that.
Yeah, if you're just joining us for the first time, when John covered the team, Francona was a big fan of yelling at John from the bathroom.
Yep.
While a swinging door separated the two of them, and he would yell at John while he was taking a dump.
And John, not the only one, according to reports. I guess that's something he just liked doing with either the media, or didn't he do that with also other players? He just loved talking to people from the can.
I don't know about players. I didn't see that. I only saw the media.
Okay. Well.
The old swinging saloon doors. And for those of you who also tuned in, like, he didn't have a door. He didn't leave the door open a crack. There were saloon doors like you see in a Western. That's what led into the bathroom. So you'd see his feet and his pants down. And he would...
Could you hear him?
An experience.
Not his voice. Could you hear him? Like,
No, I never heard that. No.
Could you smell him?
No, there was no way to smell him with those just saloon doors. Of course there was. Of course.
That dude cracks me up, man. I have to be honest. Yeah. Like, for some reason, my respect went up from about 1,000 times when I found out that that's what he did. He just loved doing that. It's something he liked. I'm going to talk
Francona's
to him.
Francona's different. He is. He's in a good way. He's good to talk to.
He is definitely different. So he will be there tonight. I know that there were some travel issues with David Ortiz's plane yesterday, and he'll be flying in, I guess, just in time to get to Big Poppy Night. So if you got tickets, you can go. Did you end up going last night, Fred? I know that there was that little bit of a rain delay they had for a little bit during the game.
No.
You didn't go? Okay.
Another wasted ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you get a Big Poppy pin if you go tonight.
Hey.
Like Hall of Fame pins. So if you're into that, God bless you. Have a great time at Big Poppy Night.
That sounds good. That sounds good. It's all about David Ortiz. And good for the Red Sox for scheduling this to take everyone's eyes off the team. Honestly, this week could be the last week that anyone pays attention to this team for the rest of the season. I mean, this is it. I mean, the David Ortiz Hall of Fame night, because they've already retired his number, the David Ortiz Hall of Fame night is maybe the last time that people turn on the TV and watch this team, considering the Patriots start up today and tomorrow.
It depends, but Fred's right. I mean, listen, if they obviously do well against the Guardians, which they have done well, despite them being a good team, and then you've got the Brewers, and then you've got Houston after
Houston.
That, right?
Yeah, no,
so,
yeah,
I mean, these are teams that you most likely will lose against, but if you don't, then that keeps the attention. Then that does change the narrative a little bit.
I don't think it keeps the attention. I think the thing that keeps the attention is if they win, if they go on a run like they did in June. I don't think they're going to win the series against Houston. They got to go like 9-1 over the next 10 to get people's attention. I don't think, you know, going 5-5 or 4-6 or just kind of treading water and making a move that brings you like a middle relief arm and a fourth starter is going to get anybody's attention. I think that this is it for the Red Sox. What we wanted was for them to get us the Patriots season, and they've done that. They've remained relatively relevant into mid-July, and training camp is about to start, and it'll be a Patriots town before long.
All right, Fred and John, when we get back after Wallach's headlines, Jaylen Brown reacts to all of the trade rumors involving him for Kevin Durant.
SMH. Shaking my head. All right, so we'll have that all up for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Everything's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich, and Rich, I can't help but shake my head.
Yeah, well, maybe looking back, Scalabrine did know something. Clip. Dan. Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Daddy, Scalabrine.
Oh, not that song.
Oh, sorry.
She's homeless.
That's the half-off card shop. That's the half-off card shop song.
If there's traction and Kevin Durant goes to management, there is no better team out there than the Boston Celtics if you're the Brooklyn Nets to make this move.
But isn't that crazy? Because, like, the Celtics are, I mean, you don't think of a championship team as having the assets to go get a bona fide star. Mm-hmm. And yet, here the Celtics are, where they've constructed a roster and managed their picks to a situation where they can do that.
So just playing devil's advocate, though, the whole conversation this season was not separating Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, I know it's Kevin Durant. So I know it's Durantula. Okay. Like, I know that is a difference maker. But, Scal, do you think that they would do that, where they would take Jaylen Brown and put at the Celtics, that they would put him out there to get a Kevin Durant?
Okay. It's Durantula.
I mean, I know it's Durantula, but I'm just saying,
Slim Reaper.
The whole
Okay. Well, let's not say Durantula anymore, but I remember about a month ago laughing at that clip when we first played it. That is not a new clip. That is one of the first people, and now here we are one day after the NBA world got turned on its head with reports that the Celtics had offered up a package involving Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and picks for Kevin Durant, only to be countered by the Nets with a package that substituted Derek White for Marcus Smart. It is, I mean, think about it. If there's two teams that Brian Scalabrine might possibly have some sort of inside track on, it's the Celtics and maybe the Nets from his years there.
That was a long time ago, man.
Different ownership, different everything. But I mean, you know, I remember when we played that a while back, kind of laughing at it, and here we are. So after both Wojnarowski and Shams confirmed the talks between teams, Jaylen Brown yesterday afternoon simply tweeted the letters SMH, which for those of you uncool to not know means shaving Mike Holmgren, which sounds like he's in for quite an adventure because he's a very hairy man. Here is Shams Charania with the latest on everything.
There really hasn't been a deal that makes sense for the Nets. They've set a very high price threshold for Kevin Durant, and so far no one has really met it. And I think over the last couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, you know, I've heard the Celtics have emerged as a real threat, and they have the pieces potentially to put together a deal. And I don't think that this is something that's going to be imminent. You know, deal could take some time to develop if there's a deal at all. But right now, the sides aren't really necessarily close. There is a deal here to be had, but right now, the Celtics are not as inclined to trade a guy like Marcus Smart along with draft picks with a guy like Jaylen Brown. In their mind, if you're going to be trading multiple key rotation players to go get Kevin Durant, does that really take you to that next level? These are all questions that Brad Stevens, that front office, will have to analyze.
I did find it funny how people got angry at us yesterday. I put out a tweet that had the quote in there of what the offer was, and people were like, you guys are living on planet Mars. You guys suck. You're the reason why, you know, these players don't want to come here. And I'm like, I literally put a report from Shams Charania out there and Adrian Wojnarowski. It's not, we didn't invent this. This is something that was reported by the two best NBA reporters that there were talks.
And by the way, your GM wants to do it. So it's, I mean, if it's so ridiculous, then why would Brad Stevens even be investigating it?
Yeah, I mean, and then they're like, well, you guys are making that up. And I would say, well, first of all, we're not making it up. That's a quote from the two of them. And do you think that both of those guys would at the same time just make up a story that's so similar? I don't believe so. Now, Steve Beaupet wrote an article for Heavy.com. I know we've had him on before, and he went and talked to some executives about what they thought of these reports that were coming out. And he wrote, okay, was there really a Celtics offer for Durant? And he put, in the Celtics case, the Athletic reported that Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a first-round pick were offered. One source disputed that to him, but the question of offers and counteroffers often comes down to a matter of semantics. He says, quote, you may ask a team what they think of a certain one of your players, and the next thing you know, they're telling someone that you offered him, said a general manager. You didn't, but that's how this thing works sometimes. It sucks for you and the player involved, but that's the way it is. I mean, that's a good point. And also, you know, another thing that you can almost certainly say is that there's no possible way this came from the Celtic side of things. I mean, if anything, over the last couple of years, especially in the past year when Brad Stevens has been involved, is you've heard nothing about any of the trades that he made until it was literally announced that the trades had, like the Brogdon thing, I don't think was on anybody's radar. Also, the plays that he made during the offseason as well, you know, with Al Horford and everything else, you didn't know about any of that stuff until it actually happened. So that's why I you know, you have to think that this was leaked out by somebody within the Nets organization in order to try to get some sort of leverage. But at the same time, there were also reports yesterday, and I believe it was from Mark Murphy, who said that Jaylen Brown doesn't want to leave. You know, he loves the organization. He wants to continue to get better, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-oh, source war with Wiggy. Source war. Source war.
Well, I mean, it's Mark Murphy versus Wiggy, apparently. Everybody loves
the source war. I'm just saying. Here we go. I mean, this is everyone's got different sources. Everyone has different opinions. He wants to be here. He wants to leave. You know? I mean, this is how it starts.
Right,
ultimately, though, it's a two-month stare-down. See which side blinks, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, Steven's going to slow play this. We'll see if the Nets come down
All right. Let's go to Jared on line one. Jared, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
I just got a theory behind the tweet that Jaylen Brown sent out yesterday. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. Do you think it could possibly be that the reports that are leaked out are just completely fake, and he's kind of just tired of hearing his name being tossed around so much? Because it seems like every time a star wants to move, it's always Jaylen's name getting tossed in that conversation, and maybe, you know, there's really nothing going on, and he's just sick and tired of hearing his name brought up every time when it comes to it. So just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, that is the miracle of the SMH tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it is so open for interpretation. And that is what is so brilliant about it, is that he's expressing his displeasure with whom? Who knows? Is it the universe? Did he just watch a Golden Girls where one of the ex-husbands has come back and caused some problems? I don't know. It could be anything.
You know,
that is the full-on mystery of the cutesy tweet, SMH.
It would piss me off if my name was always mentioned in trades. However, if the name that I was being mentioned as far as being almost an equal to was Kevin Durant, I'd probably be pretty flattered, to be quite honest. If you're Jaylen Brown and like everyone's talking about how you would be an adequate piece to trade for Kevin Durant, that doesn't suck. Like don't you think that makes your perception of value even higher? Like, just in the public, like, okay, well, that if we're going to get rid of Kevin Durant, Jaylen Brown would be an acceptable substitute. That's not a bad way to have your name mentioned in a conversation.
I don't know if he looks at it that way, though. I mean, he might look at it like, hey, I just beat that guy. I just beat that guy in the playoffs. We just swept that guy's team in the playoffs. Or, you know, man, I have to hear this from the media. You know, Brad didn't call me. I have no idea. I mean, there are a lot of ways you could look at this, just like SMH.
Do you read anything into the Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown photo that they took just the other day that they've been hanging out?
Sure. Why not?
I do think that he was watching a Golden Girls where Stanley came back and was not treating Dorothy the right way. That is exactly what I think. I think that we just took it to the next level. I think he was shaking his head at, Stanley. You're not a good ex-husband. You pop in and out of their lives, and you are not a good ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think happened. That's why I hate those tweets so much.
Well, you're right. It's like you can stay in the story and have people continue to talk about it without you really meaning anything at all. It's just like, all right, I'll throw this out there, and my name continues to circulate within all. Look, I mean, everyone's, we're talking about it. All the news, you know, on ESPN this morning, they're talking about that tweet in big letters, SMH.
Yeah, it's Stanley Zorneck. That's the mm-hmm. problem. He was streaming it, just getting into it.
Well, Steve Volpe continues. He said, I'm not sure there's a team that didn't do their due diligence on this. He said, I mean, when the Kevin Durants of the world become available, I'm not sure that there's any team that doesn't call and see if there's something that can be done. And when you have players that ilk, and there's certainly not many of them, I think everybody kicks the tires. But in terms of how the Durant deal would get done, he said it might be wise to recall a quote from a general manager in a recent story. Everybody would love to have him, but almost no one has enough to get him. And I'll bet you right now that the team that does get him will have to get a third team involved to make the trade work. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I think that the Celtics, matter of fact, according to Shams Charania, the Nets have set the price. And the price is Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and picks. That's what it's going to take. That's consistent with what you've heard they've been asking for. They wanted two all-star caliber players and first-round picks. And the Celtics have that. There's no need to get a third team involved. That's the price. And now it's just whether or not they're going to be able to manipulate away in order to not, you know, I'm sure they'd rather have Marcus Smart, but I also believe that if this goes on for a while, there's a chance that they could actually say yes to that deal.
Well, I mean, if it's true, and the Celtics have been pretty consistent all the way through from the day Brad Stevens was hired, the day he hired Ime Udoka, they love Marcus Smart. If they don't want to give up Smart, but they still want to somehow work this deal, that's when you get the third team involved. So maybe that's how it's done. Maybe that's why that would be the holdup. Who knows? But either way, Celtics are far and away the leader for this if it's ever going to happen.
I did hear, or I saw yesterday on Twitter, James Stewart speculating or saying that he heard from his sources that Jason Tatum doesn't want Kevin Durant here because it would make Jason Tatum number two and not the number one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read like Rowdy, a little Rowdy about Piper. That yesterday.
You'd be
Team
like
USA
Piper.
Was happy to defer.
He would be like Piper when Hogan was in the company.
He would be like the non-Buff Bagwell member of American Males.
Yeah, if you want to dumb it down, yeah, sure.
I don't even know what that guy's name is. I know Buff Bagwell and then a dude who's not Buff Bagwell.
Honky Von Hunkenstein.
I think that was his name.
He was even buffer than Buff Bagwell. Hachi Machi.
I don't think he was. If you've seen that video they made for the American Male song, not buffer than Buff Bagwell.
He was taller. He was a tall drink of water. He was able to suplex anybody.
He kind of just looked like a guy, to be quite honest. A dude
in
Buffalo
your dreams,
Wild Wings.
Okay. In heaven. He looks like every guy in heaven.
Maybe he does.
You get to the pearly gates and those two show up and they say, where would you like to go, Stu? Right to the squared circle.
Buff Bagwell tweets us every once in a while.
Hey, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like he is really doing a ton, but he's a fan of the Touch and Rich show. I'll give him
that. Yeah, a big fan.
Well, he's a fan of tweeting us.
He's heard that we're playing the song.
I'm sure that's it, but he still tweets us. So thank you, Buff. You're the stuff, and the ladies can't get enough.
Yeah, time set by 300, and you know how I live. They slide into my DMs. Death before dishonor, sure. I'll be there. Interview four-ish. Can do. Shad Khan's kid. Or I should say, Shad Khan's your dad. Because you got the cooler thing. Death before dishonor.
Nobody dies, though. So I don't know why they would call it that. Nobody's
you
died.
You don't know that. Yeah, well,
I don't
die.
Know that.
You throw lawn darts at them. Skaboom.
Is that right?
Yeah. There's a guy called Major Dad, and he's in the backyard, and he throws lawn darts at you and throws you off the shed.
Really?
Yeah, he's Major Dad. And if you don't eat your dinner, you put cellophane over it. Guess what you're having for breakfast, punk? Everything you didn't eat last night. Even if it's a hungry
that
man.
Show go off the air?
He's a Bill, he's a big Gerald McRaney fan.
Yeah, he was a Simon and Simon guy. But then he followed him after he married Delta Burke and did Major Dad. Gerald McRaney had stayed with Delta Burke even though she got fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good guy.
Gerald McRaney, living, dead or alive?
Oh, alive.
Alive.
74 years old, yes. Joe McLean.
Yeah, he's not even an old man. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.